cervical cancer survivor. Previously, I was having 3 miscarriages. My father was diagnosed with stage 4 nose cancer. My husband, he had a stroke.
Oh my God!
Did you know that your lady parts could close permanently?
What?
This is your daily catch-up. Hello everybody, today we have a special guest here with us and her name is Karen. Not to be mistaken with the current internet Karen. She's a nice lady and there's something very impressive about her and that she is a cancer survivor, specifically cervical cancer. To which Alison has a question.
I don't know where is the cervix.
So she asked us during lunchtime, what is cervical? Oh.
We were all confused. Like which, okay, I like think it's somewhere here near the vagina.
Yeah, it's just on top of the vagina.
Oh.
Okay, maybe we'll put it up. Yeah.
Thank you to the editor who is likely
Shums.
Karen was actually diagnosed when she was 38 during a routine checkup, right? Was this something that you were going for yearly?
Yes. I was going for a yearly checkup with my gynae every year. Okay, while I was having the yearly checkup is because previously I was having 3 times of miscarriages. So the last miscarriage was ectopic pregnancy.
What's that mean?
Okay. Oh, please explain.
We have 2 tubes.
Yeah. Okay.
One of the tube bursts. The eggs actually fall into the wrong side.
Instead of latching in the womb, it latched
in one of the tubes.
So
the tube actually bursts it. But I was losing blood for 4 liters lah. So I almost died.
Oh my God. So how, the blood just come out?
No, it's internal bleeding.
Oh, but you were in pain.
Yes, I was in pain. But I didn't know what happened because when the ambulance came that time to my house, I was having a seizure. It's my whole life first time having seizure.
Oh no.
Which I didn't know what happened. It's my husband who saw the whole scenario.
Oh, right.
Because of this ectopic pregnancy. Therefore, I have a gynae that I yearly check up. I did pap smear also with my gynae every year, 2021 during the pandemic that time. I was supposed to have a gynae check up with her the last 2 months before I see her September. I have irregular period, plus I have spotting. When I seen her that time, I told her the symptoms, everything. So the first thing immediately, she just asked me to lie down and check. She saw a growth. So she saw a growth already, she immediately take out a little bit of the sample to send for biopsy test. So after 1 week later, become stage 1 cancer.
Oh, stage 1.
Stage 1 cancer.
Stage 1 cervical
cancer. At least it was detected very early because you were going for regular checkups.
Yeah.
When you were experiencing the irregular periods, the spotting and all that.
Wait, Jared, you know what's spotting?
I think it's when you... why am I doing all this episode? I think it's like after a whole day, you take out your underwear, then maybe you see a few spots of blood.
Something like that.
Okay,
good job.
Okay, now you can get to ask
my
question.
So, the spotting and the irregular periods, right? Your doctor, did they tell you that those were indeed symptoms of cervical cancer? Or was it something unrelated?
I did Google also. I did ask her also. But please don't follow me to Google.
Oh yes, this is not medical advice, okay? This is Karen's experience. So if there's anything you're unsure about, do check with your doctor.
So the symptoms is like irregular menses, heavy, spotty, or when doing sex that time is too painful or bleeding too much.
Actually, according to the Singapore Cancer Society, cervical cancer is one of the top 10 most common cancers in Singapore. And for those who don't know, it actually has the 8th highest mortality rate. It's likelihood to die from the cancer. Touch wood. And this is...
good wood.
So, I didn't know that.
It is good wood.
So what was your reaction when you first heard the diagnosis?
Immediately in the clinic itself, I was with my husband.
Shout out Louis, who is also there.
Who's also a PA and everything.
Cry like hell. Couldn't accept it. Why I couldn't accept it is because in the same month, same year, my father was diagnosed with stage 4 nose cancer. He was the one to diagnose first. 2 weeks later, I was the one to diagnose with cancer.
Oh, it's so close.
The only thing that I can do is just cry and cry and cry. So my first reaction is crying.
Then your husband got cry.
No cry.
Hey, I was so shocked.
Hey, Louis.
He don't cry. No, but if one cry, then the other
one
don't
cry.
If both cry, then how then the doctor then?
The doctor. So uncomfortable.
Yeah. So actually, on the spot itself, the doctor just immediately give...
Issue. Sorry.
Options.
Options.
I see.
She said the first choice is just to remove the certain part of the tumor. And then just go for radiation therapy treatment. The second choice would be radical hysterectomy. That actually remove my womb, my uterus, just everything.
The whole thing.
That sounds way more extreme than chemo though.
She did recommend me the second one. The reason why is because the relapse of the cancer comeback would be very, very low. On the spot itself, when the doctor asked, I haven't answered the doctor. My husband already answered for the doctor. She just say, don't need to say so much. Say my wife, number two. Which is the remove everything.
You agreed or like at the time you just because at the time she confirmed like I think she's shaken also, you know. She can't think well also.
Yes. But actually my answer is the same as him. Because I have three miscarriages before. The last one was too scary. So actually before I have cancer that time, my husband and I already discussed many times before, and the conclusion is we're not going to have kids anymore lah. So I didn't really think too much, so we just straight away go for the second option.
Surgery is like immediately scheduled one?
No, September was diagnosed, October go for surgery.
That's pretty quick.
Okay, this is my own case because I was insured by insurance mah, so I can use as a private patient, my case is faster. But regardless of private or not private, it's still good to have insurance.
Get insurance.
Yeah. That's a general tip for life.
But, so do you actually tell this to your parents? Because I understand with your father and all that, right? And I think it's for me, if I know that September I diagnosed, then immediately my surgery is scheduled for next month already, I might have just kept it to myself. Then I just go and do the removal and everything and then just don't tell my parents lor.
I didn't tell.
And he don't send him this video.
Eventually now he already know lah.
Calm down, guys.
He didn't know at all.
Right.
Like you guys said, I didn't want to stress him. I just want to focus him for his treatments and everything. So I have no choice to send my younger brother to send my father for his treatments.
Like he took over the caregiving duties.
Yeah, he had to lah. He had to. Honestly, he better be
but
doing
it. But because at that point of time, his daughter just was just born.
Okay.
So complicated.
Why is that everything?
Altogether.
But you got tell your brother lah, so he know why you cannot.
If not, he will argue with her already. Why you cannot bring?
So the whole family except my father, we have a small meeting. That what should do, what shouldn't do, or what to do next to take care of everything.
During that whole very stressful period for you, who was like your main support system?
My husband.
Louis. Yes.
Good job, Louis.
Would you say you're more emotional than him?
He's my pillar, ma. So when my late mom passed away that time, he was also the one that decide the things for me, arrange the funeral,
etc. Clutch, so,
respect.
But because before I was diagnosed with cancer, he had a stroke. One year before I was diagnosed with cancer.
Well, that 2 years really.
It's like going to a hospital is not easy.
Louis, January my mom passed away. December he had a stroke. The first year, I was the second year that got cancer.
Oh no.
So he has the stroke that time. And then I was so stressed because he's a pillar at the home. Making decisions, everything. But we all see him, right? He looks perfectly normal. He's 90% recovered. He didn't look like a stroke patient.
You were mentioning like how you didn't tell your father, right? And then, of course, you had Louis as your kind of pillar of support. Was there anyone else that you could kind of like...
My late friend, Joyce Zhang. She's my client base, become a friend.
Through working.
She was diagnosed with cervical cancer
before.
Cervical cancer.
Yes. When she diagnosed that time, she was 36 years old. So the first person I text is her. I just asked her how would the operation go, how the treatment will go, what food to take care, what food to take note, anything. She's like my doctor like that.
She's gone through all of it before, right?
She was the one that every day, text me, give me the motivation,
assure me.
Before surgery, after treatment, telling me not to give up, trust the doctors. The other reason why I choose the second one that remove the whole of my organs is because of my late friend also, because she didn't remove the whole organs that unfortunately...
Also, there was a relapse.
Yes. So, it became stage 4. She went for a lot of clinical trial, a lot of different kind of treatments, but couldn't really stop the cells from growing. I told myself that after my treatments, I would want to meet her and thank her for all my... thank her for all the support, everything. But unfortunately, before my treatments finished, she passed away. She didn't tell me she's not well some more. I didn't know why. She didn't even tell me. The last few days before she passed away, I still talking to her on the phone.
She didn't want you to lose hope.
So when I haven't finished my treatment, I saw a message from her phone, but it was the boyfriend that texted me. Said, Joyce has died peacefully, and then the funeral will be blah blah blah. So I couldn't take it. I cried immediately. So when I went for the funeral, you can see the coffin. I didn't even dare to walk in front of the coffin. No. I just burst out my tears. I feel this is one of my regrets that I didn't have the chance to personal face-to-face and talk
thank
to her.
Because
she's not my best friend. She's not my super friend. She's just a high-bye friend. But, but she can only to really thanks me every day to give me the motivation or encouragement.
Like she impacted your life.
It's not obligation. So it's like... I was really surprised and very thankful for her that she gave me the support and the power. She was the one that always gave me a same sentence. She always said is, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray for everything.
Philippians.
Yes, I was going to say it's a verse.
Whoa, guys.
Y'all can quote the Bible.
No, that's a famous verse.
So she was always the one that said, do not worry anything. Just leave it to the God or leave it to the doctors. They will be the one to ensure you. They will be the one to tell you what to do next, what to do this or what. Instead of guessing or Google yourself in the internet. I can tell you during my cancer period that time, I Googled too much until I zohoru mo. How to say English?
It's like she's possessed by an overthinking demon. That's the direct translation.
But not too over. So I just gei kiang Google too much already. Google until like sometimes in the middle of the night I wake up, I will just like Google what is this, what is that.
I think you can't help it though, these kind of things. Like I feel like when my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer also, right, I became an overnight cancer expert. Because like I want to Google everything. Every stage, what happened, what should I look out for, what are the symptoms,
your mom was
like,
what cancer, sorry?
Colon cancer. But she's well now. She's well.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. So I've had the privilege to work with Singapore Cancer Society a few times for a few videos. And actually, the top advice that they give me is always don't Google too much. Like if you're unsure about anything, right, you ask your doctor. Because the more you Google, you just scare yourself.
I feel like we unconsciously, right, we will try to find the answer we are looking for. It's like cervical cancer cause this and then like there's probably one article that says like yes, yes. Then you scare it
and then you only like to read the bad comments. You won't read the good one. That's why my husband always say, how come you only want to read the bad one, don't read the good
but
one.
Here say got good survivor, then no, but then the other one say
that one's not me.
But because cancer got no cure, so I feel like that's why there are so many people sharing their different like methods or ways.
But see a doctor, I mean, like, Googling all this is really...
But doctor's the most reliable one, I guess.
Actually, for yourself, I think you were quite privileged to have Joyce in your life and, of course, to have Louis as a pillar of support, right?
Yes.
But for people who might feel like they are struggling alone after being diagnosed with cancer, is there somewhere that they could go to for some support?
When I first diagnosed with cancer, I Googled...
I feel like the entire discussion.
But the Google is good one. Where can I find help?
Such a positive.
The first thing appear will be Singapore Cancer Society. Okay. So I Google myself one. They have a navigator, and one of the channels that she actually gave me is a psychologist social worker. Her name is Joan. So she will be the one-to-one with me every now and then. I will be with her an hour to 2 hours to talk things out. She makes me realize that how strong am I, how resilient am I, and to love myself more, to notice my strength, rather than go and see the weakness side. So how do I make through all these things? How do I go through all these things? It's all by myself. Although I have a lot of support, people like my husband, my late friend, etc. But eventually, it's still myself that go through all these things. And and I won each battle. So she was the one that actually encouraged me to love myself more. Because I feel that we don't love ourselves more.
Yeah. No, when you were telling us about your entire story, like 2 years of, I also feel like you damn strong. I don't think I can do that. Like, I really don't know how you do it.
People will think it's a drama series.
Yeah, it's like I or something.
It's like I season 1 to 10
in 1
in 2 years. 2 years.
Too many things happens for my whole family.
So almost all cervical cancers are caused by this thing called a HPV, which is the human papilloma virus. And actually in Singapore, if I'm not wrong, under the age of 26, you can actually go and get a heavily subsidized or free jab, which is a HPV vaccine.
Yes.
Were you actually vaccinated?
No. Because my younger days, my time, there wasn't any HPV vaccine.
Oh. It's only our...
It didn't exist.
It's only our generation. Our time.
So it's not that there was no subsidy. It didn't exist at that point.
It didn't exist that time. After 30 years, so I believe that the vaccine was only introduced. And it was not a compulsory vaccine.
It still isn't a compulsory.
It's not. Right now. I think I applied for some chest cut.
Chess, you play what?
Chess, a green card.
Okay.
I don't know what it stands for, but I have that card. Uh-huh. Then they got sent me a letter to recommend me to go like this kind of chess.
Because it's subsidized with the chess card.
And it's super, super low cost.
But it's quite painful, right? I feel like, I asked my friends, they say it's like one jab, then 2 months later, another jab.
But you so can total, save your life.
Well, you might drop.
5 minutes of pain versus like your what? Okay, I don't know whether it's 5 minutes. I don't
care. It's just like a COVID jab, you know? COVID jab. It's just like a COVID jab, but you just need to do 3 times. Right. But not every day, like, just like
A few months, I think.
A few months ahead. So just a few months apart. Yeah. So it's just a normal jab only.
Oh.
But it can save your life.
But I think it's a very like common thing when it comes to health, lah. Because me and my wife for the past, don't know, since we got married, right, we're always talking about, hey, we should go for a full body checkup. And then it's like, we always like look at it and we see the price. Or like make excuses like no time and all that kind of stuff. Right. But then, if you think about it, like, it really could, these kind of things could really save your life. And I have relatives who have cancer, so that is like not something that I should be taking lightly.
Like what we talked about earlier, the more common thing that women will go and get tested for is by doing the pap smear. So if I'm already going for pap smear regularly, then do I still need to go and do this vaccine thing?
Check is check, vaccine is vaccine, man. It's two different things. Pap smear is only to do every year one. It's every 3 years that you do one time. So it's very convenient. Some people may complain it's not very comfortable during that test itself, but to me it's just like less than 5 minutes only. The doctor just use a little bit of
like a cotton bud.
Yes, just swap a little bit and then you can save your life actually. Yeah. And it's not every day that you need to do this thing. Yeah.
So according to the Screen for Life program, women between 25 and 29 are recommended to go for a pap test once every 3 years. And women over 30...
Wait, like me.
We are still 29.
You will need this information within the next 2 years. You are recommended to go for a HPV test once every 5 years. Okay, somebody asked me what's the difference between pap test and HPV.
What's the difference between the pap test and the HPV test?
Good question, Alison.
HPV. What's the difference between the pap smear test and the HPV test?
Let's go! Okay, so the pap test look for the abnormal changes like what I mentioned earlier, right? While HPV test look for the presence of that virus strain that might occur before your cell changes.
The test is still like roughly the same, like they'll just look
inside. The pap test is from your cervix, but the HPV test can be from either your cervix or vagina. So nowadays also they have like a self-collection test for the HPV test.
Oh, as in like I own self do at home.
I think it's more like a, you know, like COVID swab test.
Yeah, but like
but instead of your nose.
But like COVID, you can use the mirror and see. You know, like,
you also can use mirror.
Digging it right.
No. What kind of room you think? Okay, no. So for the self-collection test, you still have to go to a clinic to do it. So they will still brief you properly on how to collect lah. It's like, you know when you go with urine test, you also own self-collect what?
Urine, you can see a substance coming out from you to put inside a cup.
But then the vagina is only one hole. If you go inside your ass, you sure know mah.
No, you put inside, right? But how deep?
But you know vagina... I mean, you don't know.
He sure know. He actually the only one has seen it.
He's an expert.
We all don't know.
It's like you put it tampon before.
Yeah, I put it.
It's like you put it, then sometimes like, Why suddenly got some
That's your cervix.
Yeah. You brought your so far already.
Then you must like, you know?
Yeah, okay. Understand. Okay. I'm quite sure they will teach you how to do lah.
Okay.
And I think like usually,
no, because
a lot of like people don't go for pap smear test or HPV test, right? Yeah. Because they are afraid that maybe one is painful, two like maybe they like a bit shy to let the doctor see all this kind of thing. Mm. So this self-collection will avoid that. Yeah, or circumvent that lah, because you own self do ma, so you own self know your own body. But of course, there will be professionals that will guide you.
Right.
You want to see the diagram?
Can I see?
We can also put it up on the screen.
Looks exactly how you would put a tampon.
Oh, okay lah. So you should know how to do it, no?
Right.
Speaking of my ass again. I'm so ready. Yeah.
Yep. So right after your hysterectomy, right, are you just considered cancer free? Because they cut out the whole thing already, ma.
By right, they said like that lah.
Tell me more.
After the surgery was the radiation.
I still have to do radio after that.
Yeah, so January 2022, I went for my radiation therapy. Every day I had to go. Like, every day, like, Monday to Friday, every day for 25 times. Like,
what happens? Like you go inside a room and then what?
Just lie down. In front of you, there's a machine. You just go in. Like how you do the MRI like that. You don't feel any pain. Okay. You don't feel anything at all. You just listen to music only. They will open the Spotify music.
They're
very nice. I request, they will just play the music for me.
What you request?
What do you request? What's the go-to song?
Go-to radio therapy song. Let's go.
I will survive.
What's the go-to?
I'm a survivor.
I mean, every time they play for me, all the songs are very sad one.
They never play Imagine Dragons
song.
Yeah. Why not Uptown Funk? Yeah? But okay.
Wait, so what's your go-to song?
You know, very oldies leh, like Westlife leh.
Westlife, yeah.
My generation with you guys are so much
can
different.
Can sing inside or you cannot move?
Right? I cannot move at all. I need to go.
Can sing lah.
Can sing. Yeah, nice, but like, don't make you.
Can hum.
Groove.
That's why cannot sing up.
I cannot. Also, I lie down there, the machine will run in front of me for 5 minutes only.
Oh, so fast.
So I don't feel the pain. You don't feel the heat. You don't feel anything at all. But after that, the side effect comes.
Only after.
What's the side effect?
Diarrhea.
Yeah.
Wait, is this common? This is your doctor got advice you beforehand, isn't it?
But I didn't know that one day can diarrhea up to 20 times.
Is it still got thing come out? After, after the
out?
Fifth time, still got thing coming out.
You just squat on the toilet bowl, I'm just tired. Leh.
Oh, no.
Like nothing come out, but you still feel pain.
It's pain, yeah. And then it was like more 2 months so right after the hysterectomy, right? So actually the wound was still kind of fresh.
It's still a fresh one.
I wouldn't want to do anything.
Also pain, what?
Yeah, so I was wearing a binder for quite a while.
Why?
To hold my stomach, the doctor asked me to wear that thing just to support me.
So if I want
to lift up any heavy things or sneeze, there's a support.
Why would you be lifting any heavy things? Louis?
Like in case, because I have two dogs at home.
So
if I can.
So the heavy thing is.
I have two dogs at home. So 25 times for the external, 2 times internal.
Internal is how?
So there's a stick to stick into it. I have to lie down there for 5 to 15 minutes. It's an internal heat wave.
And you blast like radiation.
But you don't feel anything. You just feel not comfortable because there's a stick inside your vagina there. The long-term side effect will be it will dry up your vagina walls easily.
Oh no.
So your vagina wall will be very dry.
This is a common side effect according to your doctor. Okay.
That means when you have sex or if you want to put in tampon that kind, it's very hard, cannot
pain,
go in like that.
Pain, the wall is become very thin already, so anything go inside will be easily bleeding because it's too thin.
But that was during the internal radiotherapy that you did.
That one was 2 times already.
Yeah, 2 times, right? But then the side effect of a dry vagina just carries on.
Yes. For life.
For life?
For life?
Yeah. Because after when...
Hey, wait, it's so short. No, I mean, was really loud.
Sorry.
Calm down, Jared.
Yeah, for life. Because of that, my doctor actually recommend me to use the dilator.
What's a dilator?
A plastic rod.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, a plastic rod. Apply the gel on top.
Uh-huh.
Insert to your vagina.
Wait, but it's not so thick, right?
No, lah.
No, because she used this as an example. Yeah.
Is it got different sizes one?
SML.
She give me standard size. Just a
step.
What is
standardized?
Something
like that.
Okay.
Manageable, manageable.
Yeah. Oh.
So you have to apply. So you sit on the bed, you know, open your leg.
Yeah.
Then you put the gel, insert to your vagina for at least 10 minutes.
Oh, there's no need to lighten around.
No
need. Like,
no,
like,
just
make sure it gets to every...
Okay, so the reason why you need to insert inside is because first to moisturize it and also to exercise your muscles of your vagina.
Oh.
You know, we have muscles...
Yeah,
and
the
walls. We have muscles, the walls there.
Mm.
So to just to make sure that the wall won't close it.
Huh?
Because it's too dry. Close.
So you mean the vagina just close up like that if you don't put?
Might be too tight that it's difficult for the doctor to examine it next time.
Yeah.
So this is what she explained to me, that try to do regularly. Because eventually if it's closed up, next time in future when I do check out, she cannot see below. So I need to use the dilator for every day.
Every day, 10 minutes?
Yeah. But right now, it's become once a week.
Okay.
Because you're like your muscles used to
it.
It's so called trained.
You had your reproductive organs removed, right? Then how has your life changed after that? Like, what are some things your day to day, right, that is now different from before?
Your surgery? Very much different. Because of my remove or my organs that time, I entered menopause.
What?
Okay.
Oh yeah, it's true.
I don't have estrogen. I don't have certain hormones in my body anymore.
So there's a general thought that menopause just means you stop having period, but actually there's like a lot of hormonal changes that you also go through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, after surgery, immediately I have the symptoms like hot flash.
Hot
flash means
the whole body feels very, very hot.
Oh.
When I was in the aircon place with fan, I would still feel very, very hot. Sweats non-stop.
Like a fever like that.
It's just itchy. That's not so
worse than a fever then.
Like very big tag.
I feel like that when I eat mala, I think. Like internally. Like you just your body very hot.
Which I never had before. My temper is very, very bad.
Mood swings.
Like, I cannot control one. So I just suddenly can cry. Suddenly angry with my husband.
Louis, are you okay?
Without any reasons. Without any reasons. One. So just flare at him.
Right.
Or flare with my dogs.
Oh no.
Just no mood at all.
Menopause is for everyone. Or like, when does it stop?
I never really ask my doctor. But I feel that my one is forever. I'm young, but I feel my body is old. This is also my doctor said. Normally, women every year will lose 1% of calcium.
Okay.
Eventually, slowly. Because we age.
Okay.
Men don't age, man? Men also age, right? Correct.
Men also.
Only answer her for the woman.
Mine will be 2%.
So you have to drink like and lean, that kind of
the milk, not sponsored.
High calcium milk.
Like very high
calcium pills.
That makes more sense.
So now I'm on calcium pills daily also.
I think which is why today's episode is also to encourage people to go for that HPV jab and to make sure to go for the test as well, right?
Yes.
It's because she has really been through so much. And if there's a way to prevent this, even though it's not 100%, right? Why not?
Yes.
Especially while you can still get it subsidized and all that.
Because if I have a jab right now, I definitely will take the jab. But actually, I already took my jab. Even it's over the age already. After the operation, I actually did my HPV vaccine also.
Oh, you can do it still.
I asked my doctor advice also.
Because you know more cervix, ma, then you still can get cervical cancer.
I still can get vaginal cancer.
I think men can get cervical cancer also.
Men can get cervical cancer.
No, not cervical, but like...
What are you talking?
No.
I can get HPV.
HPV, yes.
It's usually transmitted through sex, actually, which is why when I spoke to a previous cervical cancer survivor, she said that actually it's very important for men to also go and get vaccinated because it can pass, even though I think it doesn't affect men the way it affects women.
No cervix.
Yep.
Okay, but still.
So how do we sign up for cervical screening?
So for the doctor's collected cervical screening, I will put up over here because there are costs involved and all that, so you can pause to read. And for self-collection ones, you can also go to your neighborhood clinics to learn more. But essentially, how it works is that you will go to like a clinic and then after that, they will guide you through the process. But who is eligible are, number one, women who are 30 years old and above, women who are sexually active or have been sexually active, and women who are not pregnant. But of course, there are other exceptions as well, so do clarify with your doctor personally.
AKA, just go see your doctor if you want to
explore
this option.
Thank you very much. So, I mean, after this whole period of time, especially going through multiple things, do you think your view on life has changed?
Yes. So now everything, I put myself first. Because I'm used to be a caregiver for everybody. My father, my late mom, my younger brother, my husband, my two dogs. I didn't really take care of myself physically or mentally, all these things.
How does that look like, putting yourself first?
If I can, I will try to go more holidays with my husband. Ah. But now, open already, ma. Everything yeah. Go any country.
What's your dream?
Oh, I want to go Europe.
I want to go Europe.
I hope I can go Europe.
Anywhere in particular? Might as well.
Venice? Oh,
but someone must go before it sinks.
That's why my husband always say we must go before things sink.
Yeah.
And that's it for today. Today's episode is brought to you by the Singapore Cancer Society in collaboration with Roche. So a big thank you to them. And of course, a big thank you to Karen for joining us, sharing her story.
Thank you very much, Karen.
We hope that this episode has encouraged you to go and get tested for cervical cancer. And with National Women's Checkup Week happening in collaboration with the Singapore Cancer Society from 6 to 12 May, there's no better time for you to do so. For more information on cervical cancer protection and screening, we'll include a lot of links down in the description. So do go and educate yourself and get yourself checked up very, very soon.
Yes,
like, share,
ma'am.
Subscribe, and we'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Can I ask a slightly insensitive question?
I also have a slightly insensitive after your one. Okay, go.
After you remove the organ, entire reproductive organ, right? Did you lose weight?
Oh my God, I was going to...
No. It's just the same weight.
I just wonder how much a womb weighs, you know?
Yeah,
like,
it's just
like
very small.
My stomach, right? 5 kg, you know?
No, like, I lose weight only because I control my diet.
So it's now is your diet restricted?
Not really.
Okay, mala tala.